There are a number of scriptures I would like you to read with me. You'll find the first one in Matthew's Gospel and in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11 and the 28th verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus is the speaker on that occasion. Now will you turn to the Old Testament, please, to the first book of Samuel. First book of Samuel, please, and the third chapter. And we're just going to read little snatches from the early portion of this chapter. I would appreciate it when you get the opportunity if you'll read the chapter down from verse 1. Verse number 3, and Ur, the lamp of God, went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. Verse 24, please. Mark chapter 10, and verse 24. Verse 49. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose, and came to Jesus. Now a very solemn portion for our final reading in the book of the Proverbs, Psalms, and then Proverbs in the first chapter. Proverbs chapter 1, please. Verse number 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, for I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. The Lord will bless to our hearts this public reading of His Word with that which already we have listened to. I haven't discussed my message with my brother Frank, but I'm going to be going along much the same line as he has been going along. You see, dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God guides in that way. And it is my exercise tonight to talk to you a little about the call of God. Every one of us in this audience, and my brother Frank reminded us of this, everyone in this audience, we are bound for eternity. Now, young man, don't you forget that. Eternity might be right round the corner. I just heard this past week of a dear brother away down in Phoenix down in Arizona, just like that, in a car accident. He was ushered into eternity. Young man, I would challenge you, young lady, tonight again, you are bound for eternity. And let me borrow the words of the hymn writer when he said, eternity where? It floats on the air with loved ones in glory or fiends in despair. Eternity. You are bound for eternity, young man, young lady. Every one of us are bound for eternity. But thank God there's a number in this audience tonight, and they could again say, farewell mortality, Jesus is mine. They're bound for heaven for eternity. Eternity where? Every one of us are bound for eternity. We are going there. But I can assure you of one thing, and this links in with my little message tonight. You might feel tonight that nobody loves you, that nobody cares for you. Oh, my dear friend, let me tell you that God loves you, and we'll be talking about that in a moment or two. But on the other hand, you may feel that you're not loved, but I want to assure you that you'll never go into eternity without being called. And I would believe already tonight there are those in this audience, and you have heard the call of God right over to my life, right and to my left, and in the center of this audience, there are those of you, and tonight you're hearing the call of God. Now let me think with you very, very quickly. I want you to think, as we read in Matthew chapter 11, of a challenging call. I want you to think, my dear friend, in 1 Samuel 3, of a persistent call. I want you to think, in the portion that we read in Mark chapter 10, of an urgent call. Bartimaeus was getting the call of God for the last time. Never again would Jesus pass this way another time. Bartimaeus was getting his call for the last time. It was an urgent call. Then in Proverbs chapter 1, that sad, sad chapter, I want you to think of a refused call. And in verse 28, I want you to think of a fruitless call. Those six calls, a challenging call. You know, my dear friend, there are two bidders for your soul tonight. Young friend in this gathering, not saved, there are two bidders for your soul. And I want you to think at the commencement of this gathering that God and Christ are together, as they would call you. And I want you to realize tonight that the devil would call you. And there you go out one of those doors at the back of this auditorium. You will put your hand either in the hand of Christ or in the hand of the devil. Now come with me very quickly. A challenging call. Two bidders for your soul. And I want you to think, my dear friend, as God would call you, he would tell you tonight what he has given for you. the reason why he calls you. And I want to quote to you that lovely verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to a giving God as he calls the sinner. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm older than my brother Frank, and yet I'm younger than he is. I'm 1 year longer than Christ than he is. I was saved in 1933. I'll never forget that Monday morning. A young fellow of 17, and I had a burning desire to know Christ as my Savior. I had read this verse and many others, and it didn't help me. And I thank God for a dear sister. She's still alive in Ireland. She wrote me a letter. No salutation or anything, but I'll tell you how it was written down for me. Would you like to be saved? Would you? Oh, my dear friend, listen. Listen for your soul tonight. She wrote like this. For God so loved Jack Noble. If you would like to be saved, put your name in. For God so loved Jack Noble that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Jack Noble believes in him, and then she put, God says, Jack Noble believes in him, God says, he won't perish, but have everlasting life. And that Monday morning, for the very first time, I stopped trying to believe to be saved, and I believed what God said. What did he say? For God so loved, let me make it personal tonight, for God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son. If there was never another individual in the world but you, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, God says that if you believe on him, the character of God is at stake. If you believe on him, God says, oh, my dear soul, rest tonight on the word of God. God says, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Yes, there's a giving God, and he bids for your soul tonight. And I want to quote to you the lovely words of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. As I think of a bidding, Lord Jesus Christ, for your soul. And for the sake of time, I just quote the last part of that lovely text. Listen to it. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. My dear friend, that entailed the awful hours of darkness. When in the darkness no eye upon him, only the eye of God. He bore the sinner's sin in his own body on the tree. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities.
The price of my peace was laid upon him. With his stripes I am healed. A giving Christ, he gave his everything. And listen to your friend. If you refuse God's offer of salvation in the person of his well-beloved Son, God will have no alternative. Cannot do anything else. Only damn you for eternity in the lake of fire. There's another bidder for your soul, and that bidder is Satan. And I was thinking today of poor Judas. You remember, Judas went to those godly religious leaders and he said, "What will you give me?" And tonight, young friend, I want you to think very quickly with me, very briefly, that there's one out to give you pleasure. He's out to give you sin. He's out to give you a thrilling life. But in the giving of it, you're going to lose your precious soul. I want to quote to you the words of Matthew's Gospel, when Matthew said, "And what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" A challenging call. Two bidders, God and Christ, as one. They're bidding for you. They'll give you salvation. Satan will give you the pleasures of this world to the fullest extent. But he'll give you hell and the lake of fire at the end. That's what God's Word says, you know. I want you to think with me tonight of a persistent call. We read that the Lord called Samuel. The Lord called yet again Samuel. The Lord called the third time Samuel. Then there came the last. And we read that the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. But this time was different. I would judge that the most of you in this gathering tonight, on your way to the eternal burnings, you've heard the call of God many times. And you've went out confident that you would come back again and have another chance. Tonight you're here in the goodness of God. Friend, what if the word were passed? This night should be thy last. Where would thy soul be cast? Where hide thy face? A persistent call. We thought of the urgent call of Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. When the Lord Jesus stood and commanded him to be called. I was thinking today of that hymn, "God is calling the prodigal, calling now for thee." Oh, my dear friend, this evening in this gathering, God is calling an individual, a young man, a young lady, an older friend. And I want you to think, as I suggested already at the commencement of my little message, that never again was the Lord Jesus nearer this spot than 5 miles. Bartimaeus, the poor, blind beggar sitting. Jesus is passing. My friend, Bartimaeus has his final opportunity now. I look over this company tonight, and I wonder if some of you young men, young women that have heard the call of God, that tonight you're hearing it for the last time. And as you go out of the door tonight, you will be like one of old of Scripture. He went out into the night, not the darkness of an evening, but the darkness of an eternal night. You hear the call of God tonight. And I want you to think with me of a refused call. Oh, the solemnity of those words in Proverbs chapter 1. Because I called, ye refused. I stretched out my hand, you didn't regard. You set at naught all my counsel, you would have none of my reproof. We're in Isaiah 1 again. I wonder, does it fit in, young man? Does it? I called. Ye refused. I stretched out my hand. You didn't regard the appeal of Calvary, the nail-scarred palm. I stretched out my hand. You didn't regard. You set at naught all my counsel. You would have none of my reproof. I refuse call. And then pray. The tables are turned. Listen to what it says. Then shall they call. Then shall they call. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early. But they shall not find me. God turns the tables. Tonight God is calling the individual in this auditorium, and you have an opportunity. My brother Lorimer prayed that ere the lights would go out in the building tonight, there would be individuals who would trust Christ, and we say amen to that. Because thank God is the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, calls tonight. Realizing you're a sinner in the sight of God, and you respond to that call, the authority of God's word is that you'll have everlasting life. But if you still his call refuse, and all his wondrous love abuse, soon will he sadly from you turn, your bitter prayer for pardon spurned, too late. Too late shall be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Some in this audience, and we pray for you, my wife and I, every day, twice a day we pray for you. What a dreadful thing to miss God's salvation. Push past a praying father, a praying mother. Push past friends that would lure you to Christ. go your own way. Then the Lord comes. You're outside heaven's door forever. The call of God. God is calling the prodigal. Come without delay. Hear, O Hiram, calling. Calling now for thee. Though you've wandered so far from his presence, come today. Hear his loving voice calling still. He died for you. Calvary's cross, that precious blood flow. Thank God for redemption through the blood. Wasn't it our brother Paisley said already today? Thank God for the precious blood of Christ. You can avail yourself of that blood eternally this evening. And as a poor, guilty sinner, you will accept Christ as your Savior if you will respond to the call of God. May God bless his wife, for Christ's sake shall he pray. Our God and Father, we come now in the closing moments of this gospel meeting, these solemn moments. We believe, Lord, there are fewer souls in this company, and are bound for the eternal burnings. O Lord, we believe that tonight they have heard the call of God, and now the choice is theirs. We pray, Father, that by the Spirit's power, their eyes might be directed to Calvary, and that they might realize that the Lord Jesus dying on that cross, he was dying for them. We thank thee for the glorious words, Christ died for the ungodly. We thank thee for every one of us, Father, in the company who have made it personal and say, he died for me, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. O Lord, we pray tonight that there might be new names written down in glory, that there might be that young man, that young woman, that older friend, realizing themselves as sinners, that they might trust the sinner's Savior. And this, Father, we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Now we're going to sing in closing, please, the words of number 15. Number 15. We would appreciate it if no one will leave the audience now until this meeting is closed completely. I have one request to make, please. We would greatly appreciate it if we left the auditorium without conversation, quietly. Those of us that are saved, prayerfully. There's plenty of opportunity to talk outside. But it could be that there are dear souls now, and they're burdened about this eternal matter. And we certainly wouldn't want our idle conversation to cause them to think less about these matters. If there is a burden, so my brother or I or any of these folk here couldn't save you, but we would be delighted to sit by your side and point you simply God's way of salvation. So we would suggest, if God is speaking to you, while others move out quietly, remain in your seat. Someone will come to you and show you again God's way of salvation. Thank you for your very reverent attention to God's Word. Number 15, and we are going to sing the two verses. Brother Piercy and I will be going to the doors to shake hands with you. There's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone, whilst it bids thee from God's wrath to flee, and whispers to Jesus, now come, there's a Savior now waiting.